In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. It's such a big blessing for me to be back here again with all of you, especially on this night of the Feast of the Assumption of the Body of St. Mary. I was reading remembering the prayer that we pray in the Agbeya, the litanies of the ninth hour, when we read about St. Mary, and it says, when the mother saw the Lamb and Shepherd, the Savior of the world, hung on the cross, she said, while weeping, the world rejoices in receiving salvation, while my heart burns as I look at your crucifixion, which you are enduring for the sake of all my Son and my God. And in this, of course, St. Mary is referring to her feelings at the time of the crucifixion of her Son, that as her Son is suffering for the sake of the salvation of the entire world, and what is it that she's feeling? While she, of course, is joyful that the world has salvation, But at the same time, she personally is feeling such a great grief and heartache because of all of the injustice and everything that is happening to her Son. And we can ask the question of what was the experience of the life of St. Mary after this time. Of course, we know that in this moment that salvation was accomplished, but St. Mary still had many more years left in her life to live. And living in the same country, in the same place, among the same people, with the same government and the same authorities that had done this atrocious act to her Son. And we can ask, how is it that she was able to live and to live with joy and to live with peace in the same place without being consumed with anger or regret or pain or bitterness toward any of those people who are around her that did and contributed to this the sin that they did against the Lord on his crucifixion? And it kind of brings to mind, how is it that we deal with one another when we have been wronged, when we have been offended, when we have something against other people? We can take St. Mary as a great and beautiful example of someone who loved truly the world and loved the salvation of the world, that she was able to endure this pain and this suffering for the sake of all of us, even though it was for our sin that her Son was crucified and that her Son was killed. There is a day in New York City on December 28th, which is called Good Riddance Day. And on this day, the people will come with all kinds of things and writings and pictures and different items that represent to them all of the regrets and all of the pain that they have had for that year. And they come and they bring it out to a public place and they smash it, to destroy it, as symbolically saying that they are leaving behind all of the pain and all the suffering and all the bad things and the people that were a cause of suffering to them. And we know that oftentimes people will live their life with baggage, with suffering, with pain, and with bitterness toward other people whom they see have wronged them in some way. Sometimes we resort to this idea of smash and forget, instead of trying to engage and to see what is it that I can do to help to heal and to reconcile the relationships with the people that are in my life. It seems so easy for us that when someone has offended me or bothered me or hurt me, one of the easiest things that I can do, instead of trying to deal with it with wisdom, is I try to smash and forget, just like this Good Riddance Day. So I want to speak a little bit today about healing of broken relationships. And as a disclaimer from the beginning, I do want to say that not all relationships can be healed. Not all relationships can be restored. There is such a thing as a person who has done something to me where I feel like I am unable or unwilling completely, and maybe it would even be a danger to me to restore a relationship with that person. That's different from forgiveness. When we're going to speak about forgiveness, the Lord calls us to forgive everyone, but that doesn't mean that I have to be reconciled with everyone to restore a relationship as it was before with everyone. We're going to speak about that a little later. So I want to speak first about what are some wrong ways to deal with broken relationships. What are some wrong ways to deal with people that have hurt us or harmed us? And we use St. Mary as a beautiful example to us, as someone who was able to continue to love, to intercede for the world, to show compassion and kindness, and above all, she in herself to feel peace inside of herself, even though she is living amongst the same very people who crucified her Son. So what are some wrong ways that maybe we deal with broken relationships? The first wrong way we deal with broken relationships is by ignoring the relationship, completely ignoring the problem, ignoring it as though it was going to go away by itself, ignoring it as though it doesn't exist. And there are many reasons why we might do that. Number one, as I said, maybe we think the problem will go away. Maybe I have a person in my life, whether a friend or family member, that I see on a regular basis. And that person hurts me, offends me in some way on a regular basis. And yet, maybe in my mind, I'm thinking, you know what, this problem will resolve by itself. And so I don't have to take action, I don't have to do anything, because maybe I'm uncomfortable to do anything and I don't know what to do, so I'm going to just pretend like it doesn't exist. Unfortunately, what often happens in situations like this is the resentment will build up over time, and I begin to be angry toward this person and resentful and even passive-aggressive toward them and the way that I speak to them and the way that I talk to them, all the while, well, in some cases, this person whom I'm offended by doesn't even know that I'm upset with them. Doesn't even know I'm upset about anything, because we've never even communicated it to them, maybe assuming that they know, maybe assuming that they that they're doing this on purpose and that they know exactly what they're doing. And so we try to avoid the confrontation, we avoid it altogether. Another reason maybe we ignore something is because we don't care about enough about our relationship with that person to try to make any effort to be reconciled with them. Maybe every time I am offended by someone, I say to myself, you know what, this person's not very important to me. I don't really care so much about this person. And I distance myself from them. Maybe the relationship never gets any deeper. Maybe the relationship stays very superficial. Maybe the relationship ends completely. Because I see in myself, if this person is bothering me in a certain way, then I want to avoid this person at all costs. Again, I ignore the problem. The sad thing about this is, and maybe a misconception that we have as human beings, is that maybe we believe that it is possible to have a relationship with another human being that is free from trouble, that is free from conflict, that person is going to agree with me about every point and everything, and that person is never going to cause me pain whatsoever. Maybe ideally, in an ideal world, then yes, maybe the people around us would not cause us any pain, and that we would be in harmony and in joy with everyone. But in reality, this is not the world that we live in. In reality, in order for us to have any kind of relationships around us, we have to be willing to deal with conflict and how to resolve it in a good way and not allow all of our relationships to be broken. If we do not take the effort and take the steps and forgive and reconcile with the people around us, then we will never have any positive relationship. Whether that relationship is with a coworker, with my spouse, with my children, with my priest, with the church, if I adopt a certain set of wrong expectations about my relationships with others, then I will always find something to upset me with other people, and I will feel justified in this feeling, and I will never reconcile or resolve or be able to grow deeper in any relationship that I have with anyone. And that's why this topic is so important. And that's why we should never ignore a problem in one of our relationships. If we really do care about this relationship, which we should, then we have to see what is it that I can do to improve it and not ignore it. Another reason maybe we ignore problems in our relationship is because we don't expect it to get worse. We say, okay, I can handle this level of maybe annoyance that I have toward this person, and we don't expect it to get worse. But oftentimes, even if it doesn't get worse in terms of the behavior changing, but simply the repetition over and over and over of a certain behavior that bothers us is enough to make it worse, is enough to eventually break the relationship, which is why we have to take it seriously early on. Another reason maybe we ignore relationships and problems in our relationships, and this is a big one that we all face, is that we're afraid of confrontation. We don't want to put ourselves in that position where I have to have an uncomfortable conversation with someone, where I have to be able to balance gentleness and firmness, where I have to be able to set good boundaries, where I have to be able to make wise and discerning choices and potentially offend another person. Sometimes and oftentimes we do not want this experience. We don't want confrontation, because if I am going to confront someone, I'm inviting conflict. I'm inviting something that maybe I would rather a kabar de mehi, as they say, and I'm just not going to think about it. I'm not going to deal with it. I'm like, I don't want to upset myself, right? So I'm just going to ignore it. Okay? But eventually at some point, maybe I can't ignore. Maybe at some point I cannot continue to ignore it forever, and I have to have a confrontation with this person. Another reason maybe we ignore is because we feel that no matter what I do, it will never improve. It will never get better. And if I have this mentality that nothing at all that I do is ever going to improve a relationship that I have, then I've given up. And I will not make any attempts anymore. I will not try anymore. I will not do anything. And maybe the problems that we face are very difficult, that they will never be 100% resolved. But that doesn't mean that there aren't things that I might be able to do to help advance the relationship a little bit, to help address problems a little bit, to make things a little bit better, or at least to have hope that there's some improvement in the relationship. But if I believe that absolutely nothing will get better no matter what I do, then this is a very depressing status to be in, that I feel completely helpless. I feel like there's nothing I can do, and I just ignore it completely. Another reason maybe we ignore problems in our relationships is we think that the other person won't listen. You know, if I'm going to go and tell this person what's bothering me, they're not going to take it seriously. They're going to laugh at me. They're going to become angry. They're going to tell me I'm not being realistic, whatever the case might be. There's no point in me going to try because the person won't listen. Or maybe we say, I've already tried this. I've already tried to talk to them. I've already tried to bring this point up, and maybe many times, and every time I get the same response, the same result, or maybe they say that we're going to try and then nothing happens. But just because we tried a certain strategy or a certain way of talking to them in the past doesn't mean that a new strategy might not work. Doesn't mean that maybe getting someone else involved might not work. Doesn't mean that something new could potentially bring us some new results. Which is why, again, we shouldn't ignore it and we shouldn't give up. And the last reason maybe we ignore is that we just don't care enough. It's easier to avoid the problem because we just don't care enough. I'm sacrificing the possibility and the potential of a deeper relationship with this person because I don't want to put the effort to try to address the real problems that we have. So I say to myself, it doesn't matter to me. I'm not going to try to go deeper in my relationship with them. I'm just going to manage the situation from a distance, never growing deeper in my relationship. So that's one way that we deal with broken relationships, is we ignore. Another way that we deal with broken relationships is that we blame. We blame other people. It's easy for us to assume when there's a problem in a relationship that the problem is 100% the fault of the other person. 100%. Why is it that you don't have a closer relationship? Why is it that you argue and you fight? Well, it's because this person does X, Y, Z. Because of these things, these specific things that I can point to, there is a problem with this person, and that is why my relationship with them is broken. That's why my relationship with them is not any better than it is. And we often believe, because we feel hurt by the things the other person is doing, we believe sometimes that we have done absolutely nothing to contribute to the situation. We have done nothing. And this is part of the problem, right? This is a part of the problem. When St. Paul is speaking to the Romans, and he's speaking about judgment, that people would judge others, he says what in Romans 2 verse 1? He says, therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same things. Now, when I'm saying this, I'm not trying to say that in relationships both people are always equally at fault. No, many times one person is much more at fault than another. But it doesn't mean that I am 100% innocent. It doesn't mean that there is nothing at all that I have done wrong, and there is nothing at all that I can do to improve myself. Oftentimes there is. And the thing with trying to reconcile and trying to heal relationships is that you cannot force another person to change. You cannot force another person to change who they are, to change what they think, to change their behavior. The only thing you have control over is yourself. The only person you have control over is yourself. So if I say to myself, I want to feel empowered to heal a relationship that I have, I want to know what is it that I should do to heal a relationship that I have. The answer to that question is not, let me see how I can change the other. The answer to that is, what is it that I can do? What is it that I can change? What is it that I can say? What is it that, what bad behaviors maybe do I have that are indirectly contributing to the problem that I can begin to work on? And even just when the other person sees my sincere efforts to try to show more love, to show more kindness, to show more patience to them, that maybe that by itself would be a trigger point to help them to change, to grow, and to overcome the problem and begin to see that they also need to change. But if I am always blaming, If I am always pointing fingers and always wanting to say no, the other person is the one who has to change before I even begin to consider to change, then our relationships will remain static. The problem will not be resolved. I have to be willing to sacrifice. And again, back to what I was saying before. Relationships require sacrifice. Relationships can be difficult. And no relationship is without conflict or problem. The Lord, when He tells us to love one another, the reason this is a command to love one another is because it's not easy. If it was natural and normal for us to love one another, the Lord would not have commanded us to do so. The command is because it is unnatural for us to love in so many different situations. When I have been hurt, when I have been offended, when I have been insulted, when I have been neglected, all those things, we put ourselves in very difficult situation where loving is not natural to me. Loving is difficult for me. So the commandment to love is specifically for those situations. The commandment for reconciliation, the commandment to restore peace and harmony between people is specifically when it is difficult to restore peace and harmony. Not when peace and harmony come naturally. If peace and harmony came naturally, then there would be no work to be done. It would simply be, and there would be no conflict between people. We should stop being surprised when we have conflict. We should stop being surprised when there's problems between spouses, problems between friends, problems between people in the church. This is the nature of the world. Our role is, how do I fix this problem when it happens? To expect it to happen, to understand my role in it, and to take real action to correct myself and pray for the other person also, for them to correct themselves and to communicate to them so that they understand what is their role in the problem. So blaming other people is not a solution to healing relationships whatsoever. Another mistake that we make whenever we are trying to heal broken relationships is that we wait for an apology. We are waiting. I feel offended. That person offended me. And they should know very well what is it that they did to me. And so I'm waiting for them to come and to tell me, I'm so sorry for what I did. I was wrong. I'm never going to do it again. You were right. All these nice words that maybe we dream that people would come and say to us. But oftentimes we don't hear these words. Oftentimes this isn't something that happens often. Actually, it doesn't happen very often at all. We are too proud to make the first step. We are too proud to make the first step. We believe that if I make the first step of reconciliation, then I am implicitly acknowledging that I am at fault. If I make the first step toward reconciliation, we believe that it implicitly means that I am acknowledging that I am at fault, that I was the reason for the problem. But that is not at all what it means. Initiating reconciliation means that I love you. Even if you are at fault, even if you are the one who hurt me, even if I am completely innocent in a problem, initiating reconciliation means, even though you did this to me, I still care about you, I still love you, I still want to have a relationship with you, and I am reaching out to you not because I am coming to say I'm sorry. I'm reaching out to you because peace and harmony is more important than who was right and who was wrong. This is part of the reconciliation process. If I am waiting for the other person to make this first step, I might be waiting for a very long time. And I know people who have not spoken for years and decades, waiting for the other person to make that first step. And that is not right. That is not right. The devil conquers us. He divides us when he puts in our mind this idea that I cannot be the one to initiate, that I cannot be the one to reach out to the person. If you have someone that you have not spoken to in years because of some problem that happened in the past, when you call them, you are not saying, I am the one who was at fault. You are saying, I still want to have a relationship with you, even though maybe you were at fault. Even though you did something wrong, I still want to forgive you. Even though you did something wrong, I care about you and I want to have a relationship with you, because you are not perfect and also I am not perfect. Maybe in this specific instance, you are at fault. But think to yourself all the times. Think to yourself all the times that I was at fault. Think to yourself all the times when we are accusing someone else of something, that we ourselves have done the same thing in another instance. Exactly what St. Paul was saying to the Romans. It is inexcusable for you to judge. For you who judge, do the same things. Think, we should think to ourselves and examine ourselves about this. In Ephesians 4:32, It says, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. What is it that we did to the Lord for him to forgive? Did we go to him at first and at the beginning and say, Lord, forgive us? Or was he the one who out of his genuine and overflow of love chose to be crucified for us? The Bible says that when we were still sinners, the Lord died for us. Not because we had come and been reconciled with him and then he said, okay, because you have come and said you're sorry, I will come and offer you salvation. Actually, it was the opposite. He offered us salvation while we did not deserve it at all. And the Lord asks us to do the same. Another mistake that we do that keeps us from being able to heal broken relationships is that we retaliate. And this is one of the worst things that we can do that not only keeps us from reconciling, but makes it almost impossible to ever reconcile. In Romans chapter 12, St. Paul says this, Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Maybe the first thing that comes to my mind whenever someone wrongs me is I want to find out how I can repay the favor. How I can do to the same to him or her the way that they did to me. Not only does that keep us from reconciling, that adds wrong after wrong after wrong. And actually, and oftentimes is the case, and this happens a lot of time with married couples, one person will do something wrong, the other person's reaction to the first one is so intense and extreme that it is even more wrong than the original act and the original offense. And so what happens is what becomes the topic of conversation? What becomes the topic of conversation is the second thing that happened, is the response to the original problem. And so the real issue never even gets spoken about. The real issue never even gets discussed because the retaliation, the anger that came from the second person was so strong, so extreme, that that's the thing that we're trying to deal with. That's the thing that we're trying to resolve. So if I really want a resolution to a problem, if I really want reconciliation with a person, then I have to be calm and I have to be at peace and I have to not feel that I am going to avenge myself by responding and retaliating and revenging against the person who has done wrong to me. And this is true both actively and passively, because sometimes we're very good at not actively attacking others, but we do so in a very sneaky, passive way. We do so passive-aggressively. We do so in the way that we look at people, in the way we avoid people, in little words that we say here and there, in that we're treating the other person in a different way. We are trying to send messages indirectly to them. I don't like you. I don't like what you've done. This is bad. You are bad, right? And again, that's not edifying. That's not constructive. Because we are not going to restore a relationship by being passive-aggressive. We are not going to restore a relationship by ignoring it. We are not going to restore a relationship by blaming. We're not going to restore a relationship by retaliating. If our goal really is that we want to restore relationship, then we have to go about it differently. What all these things, what we're describing, is not restoring a relationship, but simply justifying myself and showing that I am better than you and showing that I am angry at you and wanting you to feel bad the way that you made me feel bad. The last thing that we do that keeps us from healing broken relationships is that we leave. And this idea of leaving relationships has become something so easy. If you look at the divorce rate, so high. Why? Because the solution to problems in a relationship is I'm going to leave. I'm going to end the relationship. The relationship will be over, and that will save me and spare me from having to deal with you, from having to talk to you, from having to deal with your daily problems. It's the easiest thing. I'm going to end the relationship altogether. But we ask ourselves, if ending relationships because of conflict, and again, I want to say the disclaimer I said at the beginning, there are some relationships that are beyond healing, but there are many relationships that if we were to give them their attention and to approach them in the right way and to be wise, then we could find that there is positive growth and improvement in that relationship. But if I put in my mind that the first thing I want to do is leave, is break, and I don't mean just spouses, just it could be friends who are been close friends. for years, and then something happens which causes some kind of offense, and I take it so much to heart that maybe a relationship that I've had for 5, 6, 7, 10 years, I end the relationship because of something that happened that was unexpected, right? Am I expecting there never to be problems? Am I expecting them never to be hurt? Again, if every single time I had a conflict with someone, I distance myself from them and I ended my relationship from them, we will have absolutely no friends. We will have absolutely no relationships, because every relationship must have some kind of conflict and offense. This actually is what helps us to grow in our relationships and our love. You know, in the book of Proverbs, I believe, I don't have a verse on the top of my head, but I believe in Proverbs somewhere, it says that a relationship that is tested is stronger than a relationship that was never tested. Meaning that if I just have a superficial relationship with you, and we've never really had any problems and everything is just kind of nice from the beginning, maybe my level of relationship with you is kind of superficial. But if I have a real conflict about something and then we successfully resolve it, it strengthens the bond of love between us, because we have to fight for the relationship. The relationship is important to me, so I have to sacrifice for it. I have to put energy into it. The same is true with married couples. Married couples can actually grow after having conflict, because both of them recommit themselves to each other. Both of them fight for the relationship, and the people, both of them, will see how each of them cares. I care about you so much that I'm willing to fight for this relationship, to keep it, to strengthen it, to change it, to forgive it, to whatever it is that we need to do in order to make this relationship work, I'm willing to do it. That results in a stronger relationship than if the conflict had never even happened. So good can come from conflict, but only when we deal with it with wisdom. So then how does living with broken relationships affect us? How is it if we have many broken relationships with different people in our lives? What are the effects that it has? One effect is that we experience stress and isolation. Because if I'm offended by people around me, I have to avoid those people. And if those people come to church, and if those people are in my Sunday school class, and if those people are sitting at the same table as me, or the same pew as me, or coming to the same place that I am, or in the same social circles as me, that go to the same outings as me, and everything that I do, they also do, then I am constantly reminded of this person all the time. And this person, I don't want to reconcile with them. I want to avoid them. I hate them. But yet they're in my face all the time. And so I'm always stressed, and I'm always isolating, trying to isolate myself, trying to avoid them, worried if a specific person is going to be there wherever I go, and always remembering the wrongs that they have done to me all the time. This can destroy a person's life. This can make a person feel so separated that they stop coming to church altogether, that they stop being social with a certain group of friends altogether, that they start asking the friends to take sides and the people to take sides. Well, who are you with? Do you think I'm right, or you think this person is right? If you think that person is right, then I can't be your friend either. And it begins to erode us, because relationships are a fundamental part of what it means to be human beings. And fellowship is one of the fundamental purposes of the church. In Acts chapter 2, when it's speaking about what is it that the early church practiced, one of the elements there, next to breaking bread and prayers and all these things that are essential to the functioning of the church, one of them was fellowship. We are the body of Christ. And if we do not have good relationships with one another, then again there is division in the church, and that we are divided and separated, and we can fall. So stress and isolation is one thing that happens when we have many broken relationships. Another is anger and judgment. Hatred and anger toward everyone around us. We are always bitter. We are always feeling upset. We're always remembering everything that this person has done, especially when I see them, and I'm always feeling kind of a hatred toward them. And in Ephesians 4:31, St. Paul says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Gossip also, this evil speaking, that everywhere I go, I have to feel like, oh, you know what, this person, what they did to me, let me tell you the whole story. And then you start talking, until people around you are like, I'm tired of hearing the story. right? Because we want to justify ourselves. We want people to be on our side. We want people to say, oh, you are the right person and that person was the wrong person. Instead of doing that, instead of going and retelling the story to everyone, how about I go communicate to the person who I'm actually upset with and see if I can resolve the problem? Again, there are some cases where I can't, but oftentimes we don't even try. And try sincerely. I don't just mean casually. I mean really, really try. Something else that happens when we have many broken relationships is that we have a spiritual separation, actually from God, because my relationship with others affects my relationship with God. The Lord said what in Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount? He said, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. So if I'm coming even to the church, why? Because I want to have a relationship with God, because I want to partake of communion, because I want to grow in my spirit, because I want communion with God. Hear what the Lord is saying. If you are coming to me for communion and you have something against your brother, don't even bother. Because it is not possible for you to have communion with God if we are not in communion with one another. As much as it depends on me, as much as it is my part and my role, what I can do, my attempts to bring reconciliation between me and others, if I have not tried to do this, if I'm filled with hatred and lack of forgiveness, the Lord says, don't even bother coming and bringing your gift to the altar. Don't even come and make an offering to me. Don't make a sacrifice to me while at the same time you are in enmity with one another. So the broken relationships that we have with one another affects us spiritually as well. Our relationship with each other is not separate from our relationship with God. This is why when the Lord said, if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. How much more clear can it be? We go to the Lord with all kinds of sins, and we believe and trust that the Lord is good and merciful, and that He is going to forgive us our sins, that He will have mercy on us. And the Lord indeed is. But He said what? But wait, if you do not forgive others, I will not forgive you. But God, I'm coming to you and asking, and I'm repenting, and I'm saying the sins I committed are wrong. But the Lord says, did you forgive others? And if the answer to that question is no, I did not forgive others, then the Lord says, well, I will not forgive you. Even if you are repenting, I will not forgive you because you have not forgiven others. Why do you want me to offer you forgiveness when you have not offered forgiveness to others? This is what the Lord says. This is why having all of these broken relationships, and again, I want to say it again, it is possible for me to put every effort into healing a relationship, but the other person doesn't want it. That's fine. I've done my part. I've done what I'm able to do. God is not going to say, well, because that person didn't forgive you, or because you did not ultimately find reconciliation with that person, that I'm not going to forgive you. No. This is talking about my attempt to do so. This is talking about forgiveness, that I have forgiven each person, right? And sometimes I can forgive people but not be reconciled with them. And I'm going to speak about that in a second. So what is it that we should do? We talked about what we shouldn't do. We talked about some of the negative effects if we don't do it. What is it that we should do? The first is we should communicate. Communication is the first step. Whenever I have a person who has offended me in some way, who I'm struggling with in some way, I should communicate with them. I should be active in trying to restore the relationship. And the first way to do that is to communicate. Not to ignore, not to assume that person already knows what I'm feeling or what I'm thinking. They don't. Oftentimes they don't. This problem happens a lot between men and women who are married. Women oftentimes expect that their husband knows what they think. And the husband is oblivious. Doesn't know anything. And so she's upset with him, and he doesn't have any idea why. And then he sees that she's upset, and he says, are you upset? He's like, you should know why I'm upset. I don't know, right? Communicate. Communicate with words that can be heard and understood, right? Because the person you're speaking to might not know, right? And even if they do know, communicate how you feel. When you did this and this, it really bothered me. It really hurt me. I want you to know that. I want you to know that I'm angry at you because of this and this. Express yourself, right? But do so with kindness, right? In Matthew 18:15, the Lord is saying what? Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. Go and tell him. If someone sins against you, go tell him. Don't just ignore it. Don't just pretend like it didn't happen. Don't just be angry inside yourself. And sometimes maybe we as Coptic people, thinking that we are very holy people, unlike the saints, we think to ourselves that, you know what, I'm just going to stay silent like the saints who didn't defend themselves, who didn't speak, and they just accepted all this on themselves, thinking that we can do that. Maybe for some people they can do that. A lot of people cannot do that. A lot of people cannot just accept to be wronged and stay silent. Communicate the sins that your brother commits against you, just as the Lord said. And then, right after this, he says what? But if he is not willing to listen to you, go to the church. Meaning, if my one-on-one communication with this person failed, that I was not able to communicate to them that there's a problem, then don't just leave it like that. Go talk to the church and let the church be involved in the situation, trying to reconcile those people together. Again, it's more communication. It's because I desire reconciliation. I desire the healing of the relationship that I am willing to put myself in uncomfortable positions to talk to you, to talk to the church, to set up these meetings, to go back and forth. Why? Because I want the relationship to succeed. Right? This is an act of love. It is not, but I will say that as I am doing this, as we said before, I need to be willing to accept responsibility for anything that I have done to contribute to the problem. Because sometimes people, they go to the church and say, oh, this person, he offended me because he did XYZ. And the church, having investigated the situation, goes to the person who's making the accusation and says, yes, maybe, but you're the one who started it by doing this. Am I willing to accept that responsibility? Am I willing to accept that I play a role in the problem? I have to be. Because if I'm not, all I'm doing is I'm going to the church to come and try to justify myself, which is not the role of the church. You get the church involved, you're going to get someone who's objective involved. Someone who's going to look at the situation as it is and make a wise judgment about it, not simply taking a side of one person or the other. So that's the first point that we should do, is communicate. The second is that we should take responsibility. Instead of blaming, I should take responsibility. What is it that I have done? What is it that I can change? What is it that I can do? What sacrifices can I make? Even if that person has done the majority of the offense, maybe the way I responded to them in anger was wrong. Maybe there's something that I can change to help mitigate the problem from the beginning, right? And I shouldn't have the mentality that all that I'm going to do is complain about that person. No, I want to take responsibility, honestly. Because I care about the relationship, I care that even if I am in the wrong, I want to know. Because I care about the relationship more than I care about myself. I care about the relationship more than I care about proving and showing that I am right. And that is not easy oftentimes. We fall into the trap of all I want in the end is to feel justified and that I am right. And the person says, yes, you are right. And the church says, yes, you are right. No. If we really want this to work, I have to be willing to accept that I maybe am wrong, even if it's a partial wrong in something that I need to change and do. If I come with the attitude and open-mindedness that I'm willing to accept responsibility, then the church definitely can help and communicating can help. The third point of what we can do, and like I said before, is initiate reconciliation instead of waiting for an apology, right? I show care to you when I come to you. Maybe, yes, you should come to me. Yes, maybe so. But you didn't. Okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to show care to you when I come to you. I'm going to show care to you by bringing this up and by wanting to restore the relationship, by wanting to communicate, by wanting to do it. Right? And as I do this, again, I should come with a desire to find a solution, not to make further blame, not to rehash the past, not to make accusations. My role here is to restore relationship, whatever that means, whatever that means. If I really want to have peace with a person, what does it mean? If I care about peace, what does that mean? Okay. The fourth point of what I should do is to forgive. And I do want to just make a distinction here between reconciliation and forgiveness. The Lord asked us to forgive everyone, regardless of who they were, to forgive them, not to hold something against them, not to harbor hatred for them, not to desire their fall, but actually to be joyful for their success, to pray for them. This is what the Lord asks us to do of all people, for all people. I can try to initiate reconciliation. Reconciliation means a restoration of the relationship as it was before. Many times, this is good. Many times, this is what our goal should be. For instance, if a husband and wife who are living together, they should have reconciliation. They cannot live together without being reconciled to one another. Yes, forgiveness is very important, but it's more than just forgiveness. It is a restoring of the relationship. That is what marriage is. But there are some people that maybe the hurt was so much that I do not feel that I'm able to continue to have a relationship with them at all as it was before. But I should be careful with this, because oftentimes we jump to this conclusion very quickly. So I have to be sure this person has harmed me in such a way that I feel I cannot continue to have a relationship with them. I'm still called to forgive them, but maybe I cannot reconcile. Maybe we cannot continue to be friends. Maybe I still shouldn't feel hatred toward you, but I cannot restore a relationship as before. In Colossians 3, it says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Just as Christ forgave us, so also we must do. And here, the first part of this verse, in verse 13, it says, bearing with one another. The word bearing is implying that there is a burden, right? There is a burden of weakness, because each of us has weakness. If I am to truly be friends and to be close with another person, I have to be bearing with them. Bearing means I carry the burden of weakness. Meaning if a person has a certain weakness that crops up however often it does, that causes problems, if I am truly a friend to them, then I am bearing that burden. Meaning I am not going to leave at the first sight of problem. Maybe I'm going to help that person overcome this problem. Maybe I'm going to encourage them. Maybe I'm going to do whatever is in my power to help. Bearing. Because if we don't bear with others, who will bear with us? Am I perfect? Am I without flaw? Do I always say and do everything that is right? If no one like bore with me, if someone doesn't bear with me, then what would that mean for me? It would mean I have no relationships. It would mean that I have no way of continuing relationship with anyone because people identify in me a failure, and maybe a failure of my personality, a failure of my character, and so no one wants to accept it. No one wants to bear with it. So I have no relationships, right? Each of us, back to that verse about do not judge, because we who judge do the same. We are all broken. We all have weaknesses. I cannot expect people to bear with my weaknesses while at the same time I do not bear with theirs. The last point that we should do to heal broken relationships is to have patience. And having patience is very important. Relationships typically do not break overnight, and they also do not heal overnight. We should not expect whatever positive action that we take to try to heal relationships to have an effect immediately. Because sometimes people will come and they get advice, what should I do in this relationship? Okay, do this, this, and this. And then they try to do it, and they don't see any result. And so they lose heart, and they say, well, I don't want to do it anymore. It's not working. Well, you have to wait. You have to give it time. You have to do it consistently. You have to, and over time, and with consistency, maybe you will see positive growth and positive improvement. Again, don't jump to, no, it's not working, I'm going to end the relationship. Have patience. Again, this is an act of love. And true love, true Christian love, is an act of sacrifice. That I am sacrificing my comfort, right, for you. I'm saying I care about you, so I'm willing to bear with you. Again, everything has limits. Everything has limits. And everything has to be practiced with discernment. But having patience with one another is a fundamental Christian attribute, something fundamental that we are called to do in showing love for one another. So in conclusion, there's two things that are true about everyone. The first is, we are always in need of forgiveness. Each of us is always in need of forgiveness to the end of our life. This is a fact, universal. And we always have someone in our life that we need to forgive. Both these things are always going to be true. We are always going to be in need of forgiveness, And we are always going to have someone in our life that needs our forgiveness. So we have to set the right expectation. The right expectation is every relationship I have, if I really want to embark on a relationship with a person, I have to expect some suffering. I have to expect some pain. I have to expect conflict. I have to expect that I am required to sacrifice, that I'm required to be humble, that I'm required to be patient, that I'm required to communicate even when it's uncomfortable with me. All the things that we've discussed, right? And so in summary, we said what? Don't ignore a problem in a relationship, but do communicate. Communicate. Let people understand that there's a problem, that there's something that needs to be addressed. The earlier I do it, the least damage that that problem will cause. The second is, I should not blame others, but I should what? Take responsibility. What is it that I did to help cause this problem? And what is it that I can do to help change it? And that also includes the other thing, like communication. That's something I can do. I need to do a better job communicating how I feel so that this person doesn't think that everything is fine when it's really not. Right? What is it that I can do? The third is, I should not just wait for an apology, but I should be the one to initiate reconciliation, to initiate a restoration of the relationship. This is an active thing that I can do. Also, I should not retaliate, but I should forgive. Instead of seeking how I can harm you the way you harmed me, I should forgive you. I should see that just as you did this to me, also I have done the same or similar things to you or to others. We are all in the same boat. We are all weak. And then finally, instead of leaving and ending the relationship, I should consider waiting and having patience and seeing what will come of it and continue to pray and continue to communicate and continue to take positive steps that we talked about in order to forgive. So finally, relationships is a very, very important part of our life. And going back to the very beginning when we're speaking about St. Mary, imagine if St. Mary had not forgiven. Imagine if St. Mary lived the rest of her life with the stress of what happened to her, of this tragedy that happened to her. How could she function? How could she live? But instead, we as all of humanity, when we intercede with our mother, the mother of God, we ask her to ask the Lord to forgive us for our sin, the same sin that caused the crucifixion of her son. So we are asking her to ask the Lord to forgive us, and we are the reason of his crucifixion. And her love for us is because of her love for God, because of her healing, because of her reconciliation with the world. That even though it is our sin that caused her son to suffer and die, and yet she loves us so much that she's not angry toward us, she's not upset with us, but actually she seeks our salvation and she prays for our salvation all the time. So may God grant us always to examine ourselves and examine the relationships that we have, whether very intimate relationships or whether more distant relationships, and see what can I do, what active steps that I can do to heal, to forgive, and to overcome bitterness and resentment. And glory be to God forever. Amen.